You're listening to Within Our Reach, a podcast by Reachability Association that focuses on accessibility, inclusion, and leveling the playing field at work and in your community. My name is Shelley Allward-McLeod, and my co-host is Blake Hunsley. And today, we're joined by Reachability's pre-employment support navigator, Marcus Fortune. In today's episode, we'll be focusing our conversation around an article entitled Discovering Your Authentic Leadership by Bill George, Peter Sims, Andrew McLean, and Diane Mayer, which appeared in the February 2007 edition of Harvard Business Review. A link to the article will be included in the show notes. Enjoy the episode. Today, I'm one of the hosts, Shelley Allward-McLeod, and I'm here with
another one of the hosts, Blake Hunsley. And we're here with someone who's not a host, but a very special guest. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Marcus Fortune. I work here at Reachability. I'm a facilitator, first and foremost, and I do a lot of other things here. But firstly, I am a facilitator.
And we should tell people what you facilitate, too, because I think your course is pretty germane to the topic that we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm. So I facilitate the One Step Closer program. It's a program where we cover interpersonal skills like confidence, self-care, goal setting, all of that stuff, anything to help people get ready for work and feel ready to work.
Perfect. Okay.
Well, I think that certainly ties into today. We're talking about authentic leadership, and it came from reviewing an article which was from almost 20 years ago, which is hard to believe, about that Harvard Business Review put out called Discovering Your Authentic Leadership. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, discussing, the differences between an authentic leader versus an inauthentic leader. Yes. And before we started the podcast, we were all just saying that I don't think it really matters that it was 20 years old because we've all had that leader who was inauthentic versus authentic.
The challenges are the same, but it is interesting because the premise was that we needed a new kind of leader for the 21st century. So, 24 years in, now we can look and say, okay,
exactly.
Is this what we needed? Is authenticity the key?
Absolutely. Yes. So when you've had a chance to review the article, yes, Marcus, what do you think makes an authentic leader for you? Like, what do you see as?
Well, first and foremost, I was surprised to have this article to begin with, mainly because I never really saw myself as a leader, to speak. Not necessarily a negative way, but I always just didn't see myself necessarily as a follower either, but someone who just goes around doing their own thing in the workplace, you know, getting their job done, of course, but when recently, actually, I was in a situation with a coworker where we were kind of hashing out some problems, and I kind of had a moment where I kind of just spaced out and said to myself, I'm leading right now. And it was kind of exciting. It was a little scary as well, because that was a new feeling for me. So then I returned to the article. I quite honestly hadn't finished reading it yet. But then that kind of drove me to read more of the article and really delve into it. I was about halfway done before I went back to it. But I loved the article. A lot of interesting parts. There was one section where, if I'm remembering correctly, where the author said that leadership is not necessarily a skill, which I wanted to call out to them, but at the same time, I wanted to hear them out on their side of it.
Right.
Because I always heard, and maybe you as well, Shelley and Blake, leadership skills is a word that's tossed around a lot, where, you need leadership skills. And then reading the article and hearing their point of view from it, I never heard of what these leadership skills are. And that really made me want to read more of the article. Ended up being a very fascinating piece for me to read.
Right. Okay. So that's an interesting point about, our leadership skills learned. Okay.
Exactly.
So what's your take on that now?
And I was thinking about that specifically on my way in and what it means to be a good leader, and thinking about who I've seen throughout my life, not very long, I'm only 30, but where I used to work, where I'm working now with Reachability, and what I think to me is a good leader. Mm-hmm. If I can work with the leader and I can learn from them, they are a good leader to me.
Right.
If one of them is missing, something needs to be looked at with the leadership. And I was thinking here, you know, with the leadership here at Reachability, I can learn from my leaders, I can work with my leaders, and then I saw myself as a leader.
Right.
For new staff and current staff as well. So exactly. I liked where I landed with that.
Nice.
I think one of the healthiest qualities to have as a leader is one that you're showing right now is not to necessarily think of yourself as a natural leader. I find someone who thinks of themselves as a natural leader and talks that aspect of their personality up to any extent is often among the worst people on the team to have lead. But yes. It's very funny to me, you don't see or didn't see yourself as a leader because you have taken over the curriculum for every department. You have become a mentor exactly. for new staff coming in. To me, you have extremely high leadership skills at a glance as I would see it. So I think that's probably one of the healthier aspects of your leadership style is that you don't consider yourself necessarily the natural choice to be at the head.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up, the whole idea of a natural leader and how that kind of seems like a wolf in sheep's wool.
Yes.
And I've heard even increasingly in the past few years, they're like, people are saying, Marcus, you're a leader. It's there. And I'm like always pushing back and saying, no, I'm not. Don't put me on that pedestal. That's how I always saw it, a pedestal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the more I think about it now, it's more of equal. Like, you can work with a leader on the same level and be considered the same people, mm-hmm. you know, but still know that where that line lands with leadership. And the more I'm hearing it, you know, you are a leader, you have those qualities, it comes down to imposter syndrome.
Right.
I agree. I think everybody has the ability to be a leader. Everybody leads at certain things, yep. right? And we draw towards everybody, you know, and leader, okay, leading, okay, versus being somebody's manager or supervisor can be two very different things.
Yes.
And we often, you know, misconstrue the names, right?
Yeah.
And we talk about, you know, leadership in an organization, and we always tend to think of it as the people way up at the top. But leadership mm-hmm. in an organization can be demonstrated by everybody.
Absolutely.
And some of the things that I've learned, like to your point, mm-hmm. In my life, have come from lessons of people who weren't in leadership positions. Mm-hmm. Maybe their style on some communication style or their organizational skill I picked up, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're all always leading from the time we're little.
Absolutely.
Right? And then I think, you know, there probably are, you know, people mm-hmm. who then take those leader skills and manifest themselves into wanting to be more of a managerial mm-hmm. Role. Yeah. But yeah, when you said I didn't see yourself as a leader, I was like Blake. I was the same thing. But
you have your glasses on. Why are you not seeing screen?
Because you're leading the process of, and sometimes it's not people. You're leading the process of course curriculum.
Of course.
You know, this curriculum needs to be upgraded, mm-hmm. modified. You know, it's kind of taking the lead on that.
Do you think both of you that the recognition of leadership at all levels, like we're talking about, has changed? Because I think traditionally, you're right, we have thought about people in, you know, the CEO, the VP, that sort of thing, as you are a formal leader. I really think in my experience in the workplace since this article was written, so we'll say in the last 20 years, I've seen much more recognition of the leadership that you get from people on the same level or people even from a more entry level to you.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, I think that has changed. Like the term leader means something very, very different. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, society is still hierarchical, okay?
Yeah.
But I think in more organizations, they're more team-based and more team-focused, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So where people are working on little projects together where people, sometimes their natural leadership abilities strike out. Mm-hmm. One, not because you're a born leader, but because the topic that we're talking about is your expertise or your mm-hmm. passion, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Like somebody wants to talk about organizational skills, okay? I might not be able to lead a group of people, but I can make anybody, okay, you know, toe the line on organizational skills because that's a forte of mine. Like mm-hmm. I'm very pedantic about how I like things, right? Mm-hmm. But if it was like, you know, I'm going to lead a project group on how to run a marathon, well, you're all going to fail because we're going to be eating donuts.
Yep.
So I think very much so, like using that term leader and bringing out that quality is something that, you know, has changed over the years. What do you think? You're in certainly a different generation. People can't see us, thankfully. So most people are listening to my voice saying, oh, that 20-some-year-old that's hosting with Blake, and that's what I want them to keep thinking.
Mm-hmm. Blake, that high school kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I'm the oldest in the room.
Great, let's go with that.
Sure. It's opposite day, why not?
So let's turn back a bit like to the article and talking about authentic, right? Mm. So when you think about the term authentic, what does that mean to you?
Authentic is a word I have definitely always considered, you know, when even entering, not even a new workplace, because this is the third paying job I've had in my life. I usually like to stick around. But with authentic leadership, I think of it as being genuine as well. Authentic to me, for a leadership role, for example. So I'll give you two examples that I can think of now. One for myself, being in the classroom facilitating One Step Closer. I remember the day where I realized, wow, I'm in charge of this room. I am leading this class, mm-hmm. even though I always have been. Mm-hmm. This was actually just this past January. A client had said something, and it was a question that, you know, they wanted answer. And then I felt all eyes on me. Every eye turned to me in the room, and it was terrifying.
What's the responsibility you feel in that situation?
To give them the right answer, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the answer they're looking for. And just trying my best to give them the answer they're looking for, the one answer they want answered. And I did, you know, answer the question. And I have the habit of whenever the question is asked and I answer it, I ensure that I ask the client if that is the answer they were looking for. And if not, then we talk about it more. Right. I liked that. I liked that feeling. And those moments have happened in every group since, where someone asks a question or makes a comment about something, and then all eyes on me. Mm-hmm. And each time it is, quite honestly, terrifying. Each time it happens. But I know the process of going through it and, you know, leading my group that way. And it's a good feeling knowing that they not only are looking to me, but that shows to me that they trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That, you know, we're looking at Marcus for an answer. And whatever answer he is going to give is going to help guide us. And that still scares the living daylights out of me. But I'm learning to embrace more of that, to get rid of that imposter syndrome. More of, you know, a leadership role above me for authentic leadership. For that specifically, authentic leadership looks like to me, whatever a leader is telling me, they're telling everyone else the same thing. Right. Mm-hmm. They both match. You know, at any point, if a leader, be that a CEO or supervisor, what have you, I think the minute I have a meeting with them and they leave and the message becomes different, that is an issue with their leadership to me.
Correct. So I really like that. I like that you started with like authentic, like genuine, yes. right? And I think very much so, right? Like people need to be sure. You need to be yourself, mm-hmm. right? And if you've got to fake it, you know, to manage people, right? Like I know you said, I want to be okay with, you know, that's a big responsibility. People are looking to me for the answer, mm-hmm. you know. Some of that I would like to say will come like with experience, right? When yeah. it's okay to stand in front of a room, like people pay me, okay, for my advice.
Yes.
Right. And I don't know everything, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm okay to say. Now, when I was 20, I wasn't okay because it seemed like a sign of weakness. Like mm-hmm. if I, you know, you said mm-hmm. that you have to be okay, right? And I think that's also genuine. I can be professional, but I'm still me,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's sort of a line I won't cross. Mm-hmm. And I've said to many people, oh, well, that's a very interesting, you know, I've had people say to me, oh, Shelley, you must have heard everything. I'm still alive, so I've never heard everything. Mm-hmm. And I'll often say to people, oh my gosh, well, I haven't heard that one before. Oh, gee, I'm not even sure. Let's think about this. Let's dissect this out. And then I feel that also gives them a level of comfort because then they're hearing you, yes. Right? But genuine to me is the real article.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Right?
It's the real authenticism. And before we started the podcast, Marcus, you had walked in when Blake and I were talking about authentic leader. And Blake, you want to talk about, like, you had a leader that was authentic, but not maybe in the way that we're thinking of it as, as kind. So let's talk about that.
Well, it's true, because we're talking about authentic as in, you know, you say the same thing to everybody, but you also, I think for me, a big part of it is that the leader believes what they're saying themselves as well. That really speaks to authenticity to me. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, sometimes the things that that leader believes and says and acts upon in a very authentic way are terrible things. So,
and my comment to you was, okay, I can deal with that, right? Like, you're telling me, you know, I hate this, I like this, I don't like this, I'm not going to do this. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're applying that, you know, consistently and authentically to everybody, okay. Mm-hmm. Because then that allows me to decide, are we going to work together or not, right? Yeah. Like, there's not going to be any surprises. Like,
true.
And for me, that's also a bit about what authentic leadership should be. Like, I should know, okay, what to expect from you. And, like, I really liked how you said that, Marcus, that you're going to apply the same story, if you will. Mm-hmm. To everybody else. Like, you're not going to tell me one thing and go out here and then tell them a different story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's that consistency.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I like that.
It's right? True. Like, it's funny. I think about some of the leaders that I've worked with that have been very genuine and very authentic and, let's be honest, are terrible people in my opinion. And I would still choose that any day of the week than somebody who is... It's somebody who's quietly being a hypocrite, or someone who I can tell just from watching them and then comparing to hearing to the things that come out of their mouth that they don't believe a word that they're saying.
Yeah.
It's because you're true. Right. At least you know how to deal and how to respond to that person. You know,
it's true.
Even if they're awful, that they really mean it and they stand by it, and you're never going to question where you stand with them.
It's true. And I think that to me, I can deal, okay, with the truth, mm-hmm. right? I can't deal with the unknown, right? Like, I can't deal with, because then I'm always wondering, right?
Yes.
You know, even if you don't know the answer, tell me, I don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. Okay, when were you fighting? We can have more dialogue about that. But, you know, don't lie to me, mm-hmm. right? And don't be so fake.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, I always liken it to this. And I use this example sometimes, like in training that I'm doing, where everybody wants to, you know, be so agreeable, right? I'm a big believer that healthy debate, like, I can disagree with you on anything and we can still be friends, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I liken it to the person that you take shopping with you, right? You're going clothes shopping, mm-hmm. right? And you have that friend that you come out in the most god-awful outfit. And the friend is like, oh my gosh, you look gorgeous. Mm-hmm. When even you know, mm-hmm. okay? You're like...
the friend you have to tell, like, there is a mirror here. I can see me too. And,
I mean, you could practically see the sales clerk in the background, like, vomiting, right? Like, you know, it's that bad, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not that person's not authentic. They're just telling you...
what you want to hear.
What you want to hear. And that, and maybe maybe I'm cynical, right? But then that makes me believe, what else is that person telling me that I want?
That's not cynical. That's self-preservation.
Right, yeah, that I want to hear. Like, I have, you know, like a very small circle of what I believe are my authentic friends. Like, we can call each other for anything. You know, there's one friend, okay, who I would absolutely take shopping.
Yeah.
Right? And... she'd be like, you open the door, and she's like,
nope.
No, take that away. Yeah.
Right? Or she'll see me pulling something off the rack, and she'll like, no.
Yeah.
Right? Right? I might be offended. It might be my most favorite thing or whatever, but I don't want to be like her saying, oh my gosh, you're gorgeous, when, you know, my glasses are like, you know, hanging like off the side of my face. So I carry that through to like my whole life. Like mm-hmm. I want to work with people that are authentic, mm-hmm. right? I don't have to like your style, mm-hmm. yep. but be consistent about it.
Yes.
Right.
I've actually, when you said, you know, being okay with what I grabbed from that about, you know, the unknown and wanting to know what, you know, what we know. I, this week, word for word, told a client this week I was meeting with for some like outside support. I remember saying to them, can't remember of the context, but I have become very okay with saying, I don't know, mm-hmm. but then putting in the effort to learn.
Correct.
There's nothing more comforting to me than when an expert says, I don't know, but I will get back to you. Yeah. I will respect that far more any day than someone who tries to make it up on the right. fly. Yeah.
You can
always tell no matter how deep the knowledge base is when someone's pulling it out of their arse, if you excuse the term.
But. I believe them to be more a genuine, more authentic mm-hmm. when they say, I don't know, but my goodness, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, I don't know. I've never read that book before. I don't know. I haven't seen that. It's okay to say, I haven't seen that video or I'm not aware of what you're referencing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. Because no human being knows everything.
No.
Right away, I don't look at that person and go, oh, you don't know. Like, you know, that's not my go-to is, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to somebody who is genuine. We're going to be able to have a good conversation.
Yes. And somebody who's curious, because you can tell they're immediately excited to find an answer for you because it's their it's their topic. They want to know as much as possible.
Right. And it's often why now, here, fast forward to 2024 with, you know, back in 2006, I think when the article was written, we were maybe, you know, starting to talk about leaders. Mm-hmm. And starting to talk some about diversity, yep. equity, and inclusion. Now we're very much talking about that. And some of the words that we're hearing with diversity, inclusion, equity are being authentic. Mm-hmm. And coming with being authentic is being curious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Authentically curious, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to nosy and mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
I think this is a problem people don't understand the difference between the two. I think you have a lot of authentically curious people out there who are too afraid to be, they think they're going to be rude
right.
by asking somebody something that maybe, you know, if you're an absolute stranger, it could be a little too much to ask them. But if you're a work colleague and you've been working for a couple of months and you're genuinely curious about why this person does this thing the way that they do, you should be comfortable. You should be comfortable enough to find a way to ask them that, because if they are a genuine, authentic person, they're going to give you a fair answer. Even if that fair answer is, you know, honestly, that's none of your business. That's a fair answer and a genuine response. I'll take that.
Exactly. I remember this time when a person told me, oh, I'm not able to see very well. I have macular degeneration. And at the time, I had no idea what that was. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I've never heard of that before. And I didn't go, oh my gosh, like, oh, you're blind. Oh, you can't see. Instead, I was like, oh, I've never heard about that before. Help me understand, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and then that got into a whole conversation. And that was the beginning for me of understanding that people can be legally blind and not still actually see things. Mm-hmm. Like in my head, and this is ignorance, okay, due to lack of knowledge, not due to the fact that I was being mean and malicious, mm-hmm. but the fact that I didn't know the difference. I just assumed when someone said they were blind that literally they could see nothing, mm-hmm. like it was a black.
Yeah.
Right? And so that was my, so that was like, oh, that made me more curious. And because of that experience with that person who was willing to expand, that allowed me to be more curious about other things. Now, when people tell me something, or I mean, I don't walk up to a stranger on the street, like, you know, in a wheelchair, I'm like, oh, so why are you in that wheelchair? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. that to me, even though I could say it in the nicest way, who the heck are you? Like, mm-hmm. keep on walking, lady, right? Mm-hmm. But like, absolutely, I have clients who, I see something that's not the same as me. And once we build a bit of rapport, I'll ask them, mm-hmm. right? And usually if you build enough rapport, something about their culture or whatever comes out, and then you can grab onto that and ask a curious question. Mm-hmm. And it's how I've become educated on that, right? Like to being authentically curious versus rude and nosy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question about authenticity because I took a very different read on this article, which we've discussed in private before recording today. I got a little on my soapbox and was a little outraged about a few things.
Well, to be fair.
When am I not?
Most, to be fair, yes. Most of the time, okay, the difference for those of you that have, you know, been listening to our podcasts, Blake enjoys the soapbox. Mm-hmm.
I am authentically riled up, okay?
Right?
There's no phoning in my outrage. No, but my question is there a danger in overvaluing authenticity? And I'm thinking particularly about political leadership because I think a lot of us have gotten cynical, myself included, because you do have politicians who will give you the pat answer, the scripted response. It's all very canned. It's all very unbelievable. It's all very just theatrical sometimes in my experience. But then you have someone appear on the other side who is authentic and you know, they speak plain truth and people really buy into that because they're so tired of getting the canned response. But oftentimes that response, while authentic, is terrifying and not something that most people I think would really want. So I guess, is the danger there that there's a bigger danger to being inauthentic, or is there a danger that we're just overvaluing authenticity over, you know, I guess, moral leadership or professionalism or accountability?
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you used politicians.
We all know what I'm alluding to. Probably about three or four different things in this country and the one below.
But I don't know. Like, I mean, what's that saying? You know, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, right? So the authentic leader who's telling you something that, you know, taxes are going to go up by this and you believe it and they're authentic, okay? Mm-hmm. You might not like it, but now you know exactly what's going to happen, okay? Versus the one who's telling you what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. Remember the not genuine, right? And then 4 seconds into their term, okay, they realize that, A, they don't have the money, and now they're going to put a spin on that.
Which they always seem to suddenly realize they definitely didn't know before they took the offer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My take is I'd rather have an authentic leader. Mm-hmm. Even if I didn't like your style, but you were consistent about it, mm-hmm. because then I can work with that. I know what lines I can cross. The boundaries would be very clear, right? And then also, I'm still in control, right? Because if I don't like it, I can look for something else. Mm-hmm. Like if we're talking about the workplace, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I'd rather that than the being on pins and needles all the time, right? And thinking I'm doing a good job only to find out today you've changed your mind.
Yeah.
Today the flavor of the month is vanilla.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it was chocolate.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, to me, that makes my eyeball tick. Mm-hmm. People know when my eyeball starts to tick, that is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. Like that would make my eyeball tick much more than you tell me X, even though I think it's the most ridiculous thing. At least I know we're going ridiculous today.
Yeah,
I can either get on board or not. I said this in other, you know, when we were doing video series as well, is not every job is for everybody, right? Right person, right place, right time, right? The person, you know, when you're interviewing to go work for a company, right? It might be very clear to you during the interview process that is not a company I need to work for, right?
Yes. I was very fascinated to see that first question and also wanted me to get on a bit of a soapbox as well.
By all means, I can take a break.
Because I looked at it from the lens of my education. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a bachelor's of arts degree in sociology. Mm-hmm. I like to think I'm using it. but when I saw that question, I was like, I feel that there is possibly a very large difference between authentic leadership and political leadership. Mm-hmm. Mainly because if you combine the two, I feel they don't exist. Authentic political leadership.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, my view on it. Argue about it. I would welcome the argument as long as it's constructive. But what I'm seeing, especially these days, is the lack of authentic political leadership. Mm-hmm. Right now, it just seems to be inauthentic. You know, there's always the idea of, you know, pockets being lined, mm-hmm. you know, catering to a certain members of society. You know, it seems to be more of a social power game mm-hmm. than leadership the way it's was maybe pitched many, many years ago. I'm talking like the birth of Canada mm-hmm. and the birth of the United States specifically, because I'm sure it was delivered in that way where it's like a voice for all. But it certainly has become a voice for all, but for those who matter, really. And mm-hmm. it's hard for us to get away from that, because it doesn't matter what an authentic political leader would do, someone is going to suffer.
Yes.
It That's does not true. Matter.
I guess yeah. my big fear is that the way I see things these days is I seem to get more of an authentic vibe from the more populist approach that you hear out there in politics. They're telling people that the systems are broken. They're the ones admitting that the systems mm-hmm. are broken, when the rest of us can see on the ground that many yes. of them are in shambles.
Yes.
And then you have more traditional politicians trying to say, no, things are, you know, we're fixing things and there's some dents and dings here and there, but the system isn't broken. Look bloody around. Good heavens. So I really do have fears about authenticity being the name of the game, because I see the appeal. I really do. And I'm with you, Shelley. I've had politicians lie to my face to get my vote. I believe the fact that we don't have there, that we still have first past the post, is not something that should be happening after one of the things that was said to my face by certain politicians, but that's fine. I lose respect for inauthentic politicians so fast, but the most authentic ones that I see out there, really telling it like it is, to use their phrase, they really scare me, because I can see the appeal of being told, this is what I actually believe and want to do, even when all of the things that they believe and want to do are things that I would never want to see done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree. I think we're going to start to see some change, because society, you know, go back in the, you know, years, okay, mm-hmm. maybe mm-hmm. even before some of you were born. Mm. But
me, because I'm in high school.
Yeah. Correct. in politics or in sales, right? People flowered everything up, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay? Because they were selling you something, right?
Yeah. And the 80s leadership style is what I think of.
Right, the person who could sell the best.
Yes, okay? Always be closing. Right, yeah, yes.
And everything had to be upbeat and positive, yeah. mm-hmm. okay? And then we would be annoyed 4 seconds into that person's tenure, mm-hmm. okay? That's no secret. Like, then we'd be like, what the heck? That's not what you promised. Then now we're at, you know, headbutting all the time. When I think society is starting to get tired of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while society doesn't want somebody standing up telling us, you know, all kinds of negative stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's going to start to be more of a, if you had a politician, okay, that stood up and said, you know, everything's broken, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I can't promise you that I'm going to fix healthcare in 2 minutes or, you know, education in 2 minutes. I know they need to be fixed, mm-hmm. right? But I don't even know where to start, okay? Mm-hmm. But what you will get from me, okay, is the uncovering of all of that, mm-hmm. okay, and what the real deal is and how we're going to get there, what it's going to cost us, mm-hmm. right? I think that's what people, even though we say we don't, we want the flowery, because, again, we're humans. Most of us still glom onto that hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And we have to move away from that to realism, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And I think, you know, as the generations are changing, right, we're wanting more of that. We're mm-hmm. asking for more of that authentic, right?
So it sounds like the danger is really that inauthenticity has gone on in leadership, and not just politics, business, all spheres of society,
right,
for so long.
That we don't trust.
Yeah, yep. We've gotten used to the kind of commercial advertising appeal sort of thing.
What do you say about salesmen? Like, they have a bad rap. Oh,
yeah.
Salesperson. Oh, some telemarketer calling me, like, or whatever. they could have changed their whole process and they're going to be authentic,
yeah.
right? And say, mm-hmm. oh, well, you're with XYZ telephone company. Oh, yeah, then there's no need for you to change.
Yeah, I can't beat that deal.
I can't, great. Right? Like, but I never let them talk long enough because I've already hit the disconnect button. but yes, I think that the danger really is that we've had so much inauthenticity, mm-hmm. right? That, you know, go back years, like to, you know, in workplaces, unions, right? Why they had such a strong play is mm-hmm. because, you know, leaders were not authentic mm-hmm. and unions were catching them up in their lies, mm-hmm. if you will, like, yep. let's call yep. it what it is. And then they were running with that. Well, great. You've told us you're going to give us this. How can we believe that? Mm-hmm. Right? We need to see everything. We believe nothing. Right? And that's kind of what's happened, right? Because you've told us all these things are going to happen and in politics and what actually has happened, mm-hmm. right? And any good spinner can say, whoa, well, we did these three things. Wonderful. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Spin and, being the absolute enemy of authenticity, just while we're on right? that for once. Oh my God, yes.
Right? So, I mean, so I think it's not just in politics. It's in sales. Mm-hmm. It's the whole thing. We're spinning because we're marketing
yes.
all of these things as opposed to the authentic. Imagine if you walked onto a car lot, right? Like, because that's an easy example, yeah. right?
Majority, and one of the most maligned, too. So good right? place to start. Yeah.
right? So you walk onto a car lot and, you know, the guy sees the car that you drive in, or although my husband loves to drive in. He loves to drive in the car that he's not going to be trading in, mm-hmm. right? But anyway, you drive in, right? And wouldn't you love for the guy to ask, so what is it you're looking for, mm-hmm. right? And then you tell him, you say, you're not going to get that in your budget. Or, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't think you're going to get a better car than what you have now. Like, I'm not going to be able to beat that deal. Like, yeah. no, it's, oh, you, oh, I've got something for you. Like, mm-hmm. I can put you in anything. I can make anything work for you. Only to find out after you've got all things that you didn't make it work. It costs more than I said. You're way outside of my budget. Now what do I do?
Yeah. I wonder if we've brought right? that into our personal life a little bit too, because we talk now all the time now that we're all on social media and everybody yeah. has awful side gigs and side hustles and things. It's all about your personal brand. Mm-hmm. And we've brought a bit of that. I hate, let's just say gross, because it is, but we brought a bit yes. of that gross element into our personal lives,
yes.
which makes us all a little less authentic too. What a horrifying thought.
Well, we're putting like spins on things.
We're putting spin on our everyday activities.
That people cool. want to see.
Yeah.
And when we put that word spin on things, it's almost like, okay, let's put a spin on this. Mm-hmm. That to me says, let's give them an excuse for our not so good leadership.
Yeah.
Well, and let me just say, on social media, the spin, also trying to put ourselves in the best light. When you have social media programs, putting out a filter, mm-hmm. okay, so you can remove all your blemishes and mm-hmm. make yourself look like, you know, like who you aren't, okay? Yeah. What's that also saying to society? That like, you know, like I couldn't deal with your real photo?
The number of meetings I've had, Shelley, where I get a nice little digital invitation and the photo is amazing. They are the most model-esque person you've ever seen. And then you meet this person in person for the meeting, you would never recognize them.
Right.
And what kind of a first impression is that? So you knew I was going to see your authentic self and you still presented this to me first. What is my takeaway supposed to be from that? Of course, I'm a bit distrustful immediately.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think this all ties into this whole, like, I don't, and if you were to ask any of those people, okay, they aren't going to say, well, of course I was being inauthentic, because nobody, they're trying to sell. They're working with what they have to try yeah. to put their best foot forward, mm-hmm. when in fact, they're not really being true to themselves. They're not really being authentic,
yeah. Yeah.
right? I think that there's a danger to that. And, you know, some people might say, well, you know, some of those people have succeeded very well in life. Have they?
Mm. Or is right? it just their presentation? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And how much are they respected? Right. I mean, I guess it goes to this. I would rather be respected, mm-hmm. right, for the work that I do and my job and who I am, right, and only have six followers. Mm-hmm. right? Versus, okay, being inauthentic with my duck lips and, you know, having, you know, 1 million followers,
mm-hmm. yeah.
of which couldn't even spell my name correctly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I think we're going to come, I, you know, I'd like to see, you know, some of that, you know, switch over. It's going to take time.
Mm-hmm. I think it is changing. It's funny. I was being quite depressing about thinking that we've brought some of the marketing elements into our personal life. But in my personal experience, in my work life, I've seen much more authentic leadership as I've progressed through and as the people at the top have changed.
Yes.
I mean, we may make jokes about our fearless leader here because she can be quite colorful and interesting, but you know exactly what you're getting mm-hmm. and what you're hearing yep. is exactly what she truly believes. And that's so much easier to deal with.
And yep. and I think that we are slowly coming to that. And I think, you know, I know you love when I go back to politics because that's your total soapbox. But I think that is a really great example that you had given. And I believe that look at how across our country, mm-hmm. right, people who were like, and I don't want to get into whether, you know, you who.
We'll leave all the labels off and right. check you out.
But like one part of a region, okay, or one part of a province, okay, was very much, you know, this leadership mm-hmm. brand, okay, for years. And it didn't matter if they liked the person. That's just who they were
voting
for.
That's how you voted. That's how you always voted.
But yeah. now we've started to see people switching back and forth, mm-hmm. okay? Like there's not this allegiance to being, you know, liberal or PC or whatever. There's yeah. more now starting to listen to what's the person saying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So eventually, right, we're going to get tired of the person that keeps telling us stuff that's not authentic. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to, you know, Tuxedo the Cat.
Mm-hmm. I wish we could right. learn this lesson on the non-populist side, but I guess it's a little harder than getting out there and telling people, yes, I will do everything you want and I will do it even if it's a bad idea. I would find great appeal in someone getting out there and saying, we're not going to do that. We can't afford it and it would break the country even more.
Right. Yeah. And I think, yes, maybe this next election, we're not quite ready for that. Mm-hmm. But what we need is that. And because eventually we'll be like, you know what? If we'd have gone with, you know, Blake's, you know, take, mm-hmm. we at least would have known where we stood.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right?
Because now I've bought into this flavor over here and that is not anywhere close to what I got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, but it'll take a whole.
Yeah,
it's going to take some doing.
Because I think at the end of the day, I think we do really, most of us would appreciate authenticity. Mm-hmm. Because when you really drill down to even the people who say they don't like confrontation and, you know, oh, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or whatever. If you said to somebody, so would you prefer that I just lied to you all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of people are going to be like, well, no.
Yeah.
Right. So I think authenticism is where we should be.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's not necessarily want to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So a message for politicians out there who are listening to our podcast, because we've had a couple of them on at this point. So some yeah. of them may be listeners too. Tell they us what never, we don't want to hear. Go right ahead.
Never come back.
I'm
on
not
again.
Coming back on your podcast. It was a terrible time when you yelled at me. Okay. Well, thank you for being honest.
Exactly.
Marcus, did you have anything you wanted to add about the necessity of authenticity, particularly in your program? Because where you're working with, you're really dealing with a lot of emotional stuff. There must be, I don't think you could do your job if you weren't completely authentic with the people in your class. Oh,
yes. It has to be there. It can't be one thing then the other. Mm. You know, it can't be mixed messages. It has to be one thing and only that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to be I'm always straightforward with my clients. I'm always, you know, giving them the information they need. I'm not in any way telling them anything that, or not in any way like lying to them, telling them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it is, you know, not presented as a harsh reality, but also I can do that kind of thing where it's like, this is how the world is.
Yeah.
Let's work around what we're currently struggling with. You know, not only with, you know, how things are in politics, but everything out in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I meet clients all the time who, you know, they're mad at the world for any kind of reason, and their reasons for it, totally understandable. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, I'm having the same issues. So it's so important for me to be that level of genuine, the authentic, where I am meeting them where they are, mm-hmm. and having that level of empathy in as well. You know, I think that's a huge part of leadership. You know, the more we're talking, the more I'm seeing a lot of different elements of leadership. You know, there's empathy involved, a level of self-confidence as well. Mm-hmm. That is also huge.
So, it's so true. I think, like, in the course that, you know, that you're doing, especially like in the One Step Closer, and I've had people say to me, like, in coaching mm-hmm. sessions, because you're trying to tell them how the world is working, like the harsh reality. And I've had people say to me, so basically, Shelley, you're telling me I have to change my entire personality. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Actually, I want you to be you. But what you need to understand is, in this world, if your style is to yell and scream at everybody, mm-hmm. okay, you need to actually think, okay, how does that correlate to you doing business? How successful do you think you're going to be working for an employer, right? Like, is the right job for you then working under somebody, or should you maybe work for yourself? How well will you work with customers if you're going to yell at them when you think they're wrong? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, like I'm, you need to temper your, right? Because mm-hmm. I agree. I'll say to people will say to me, oh, but customers are, and I was like, you're right. I'm sure they absolutely, like, empathy.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But guess what? If I acted like that, what do you think the repercussions are going to
be? Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's authentic.
Yeah.
Right. And I like that you have empathy. It's okay to agree with them how you're feeling. Yeah, I feel like that too. But mm-hmm. if I acted like that every day acted on it, what would the repercussions be?
Mm-hmm. And even a certain level with, authentic empathy, if we could even go there, you know, I've met with clients who, you know, they're angry at the world and it's like coming out in that negative way. And as soon as I sit down with them, I no longer see it as a way I called them out. It's almost like they have a moment of like, shit, someone's actually listening to me. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to each other. And then, and always after that conversation, things are always better.
They are. Most times people are being belligerent. People are being negative Nancy or negative Ned.
Yeah.
Because nobody's really listening to them.
Yeah.
Right. And it's why I don't usually tell people how to do things. Like, you notice how I phrase that. So imagine if you acted like that, what do you think the repercussions would be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, I agree. Right. Yeah.
So if we're going to agree then that authenticity is not the problem, which it sounds like it's not, it's more the inauthenticity we've been dealing with for so long and our expectations that have formed around that. I'd be curious to, as a wrap up, what you think would be the next most important quality to pair with that? Because based on what you just said, I think empathy has to be, we talk about empathy and emotionally intelligent leadership around here until we're blue in the face, but I think it really is that important. I think if you're an authentic leader and you don't have a sense of empathy, that's where we get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So that would be, I'm stealing your answer in advance. For me, I'm going to say empathy for sure. But what would you say, Marcus?
I do have to also say empathy. I do want to speak to self-confidence too. Mm. You know, it's so important. And the more I'm thinking about leadership, and since I started, you know, working with Reachability and working with clients, self-confidence, absolutely. I remember my first day shadowing One Step Closer, just kind of learning how it goes, how it's carried out in the classroom. We watched a video. It was a TED Talk by Emmy Cuddy. Mm-hmm. She is a social power expert. She is a university professor in the States. Her big kind of philosophy is, at first, fake it till you make it, which, and I'm so glad this was like one of my first days here, because it is how I got this job. 10 years ago, if I was telling myself, like, if right now, if I was telling my 20-year-old self, like, you're going to be here one day doing this in the classroom, I would have been like, yeah, right, this isn't happening at all, never. I remember when I was applying for jobs. I just needed to leave my last job. Got toxic. It's not a mystery. I wanted something new. I've been there for 9 years. And I think that was maybe my first step into authentic leadership for myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, leading my own self through the world. And like, you don't, it's almost like I took my own hand and like, you don't have to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can leave.
You stop pretending that everything's okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's not okay.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
And when I saw that Reachability had an opening, I was like, there's got to be some kind of sign. I used to work for Reachability about 12, 13 years ago. Reachability had summer camps.
Mm-hmm.
And right. That's why I worked as a camp counselor. So I was like, this is my moment to
camp
get a new
counselor,
job.
But doesn't see himself as a leader.
Getting called out lots today. But it's good. It's all good. But when I saw that, I was like, this has to be a sign. You know. So I emailed. It ended up going to Chelsea, and I said, kind of put on my confidence pants for the first time, probably ever, really.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it was a short email. Used to work here. Give me the job. It was kinder than that. But I heard from Chelsea immediately, and then I got in here, and I saw that video. And even going back to the interview process, you know, the first interview was, you know, see me going through my resume, my experience, and seeing if I had a good fit. And the more we talked, I'm like, I'm not going to get this job. I was for sure honest, you know, I'm not going to get it. It just doesn't seem like a good fit to me. And then Chelsea asked me to put together a presentation just to show I could facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
I remember shutting my laptop and being like, damn it, I can't do this. Like, you're asking me to do something that's impossible for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling a friend of mine about it, and they were like, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, pretend to be someone you're not just to see if you can.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, and I do tell my clients this all the time. And I always like add a layer of insurance where it's like, don't go to a hospital and say you're a surgeon.
Right.
You know, be realistic for your own goals.
Yes.
And I said, okay. And then when I did that, I made the presentation, practiced the heck out of it, delivered it. And then everything was good. We signed off the meeting. It was over Zoom. And I remember walking away and I'm like, that went well. And in my entire life with like in-person presentations, I'd never once said that about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt amazing. And I didn't know it then, but I knew that I was leading myself in the right direction.
Yeah,
exactly. It felt amazing. And when I started here and saw that video, I remember just like watching, just like wide-eyed, jaw dropped, like, this is how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started facilitating, I was like, I don't feel like how I did when I was in that interview. I said, I can do this. I faked it till I became it, which is what Amy Cuddy says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think I could have got here without that little word of like, or phrase of fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That. Now I'm realizing I have all those leadership qualities, whatever they are. It could be empathy, which I do know empathy, and, you know, self-confidence is something I'm also learning to grow into. And now leadership mm-hmm. is now what I'm kind of realizing is kind of like the vest I was wearing all along. I just didn't really know it. I can be a leader. I just need to be more self-confident about it. And that's why I think self-confidence is more important. Not more important, but very important.
Yeah.
I know I went through a long-winded way of getting there, but...
No, I think it's important because I think a lot of people hear fake it till you make it in a conversation about authenticity. And they think, well, how could that not be, or how could that be more opposite? In my head, it's not, because you're not, it's like you said, you're not going to a hospital and pretending you're a surgeon. Yeah. You are pretending that you are the person today that you know you are capable of being on your best day.
Yeah.
And that is authentic. Yeah, even if you don't believe in yourself today, you do know that you're capable of that at your best. So to present that side of yourself, that is authentic. It's just combined with a little bit of optimism, perhaps.
Well,
yeah.
I think it's self-development, right? Like using phrases, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Using self-talk,
yeah.
Right? That help us to be successful. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's no different than the first time you're getting up to speak and someone, big phrase. I mean, I took like public speaking because it was mandatory as a part of my law degree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that you're told, and this is, And like, you know, if you're afraid, just imagine the, you know, audience naked. Well, that to me was horrifying.
distracting.
Very distracting. But I think it's how we build that. Another term is like fake it to me, or you need to take a leap of faith. Like it's about our self-development. We think we can't do something and we self-talk our way into the fact that I'm not confident. I don't have I can't do that. I can't do that presentation, mm-hmm. right? So I really do think, I really like when you said self-confidence. And I think it's important, you know, for people to realize that it's not something we're born with, right? And it's likely something we have to, you know, become aware of. It's likely something we have to learn. We have mm-hmm. to learn how to deal with that, how to have good talk inside our head. But for me, probably the most important is the empathy piece. Mm-hmm. Because I've always been very outspoken. Like I was never considered a shy child mm-hmm. or quiet child. I always had an opinion, mm-hmm. but I think it's having empathy and understanding. Okay. Yeah. To other people's ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that also only comes from, okay, a building of self-confidence, okay, to realize that I can hear other people's point of view. I can empathize with that. I can extrapolate. And oh my gosh, I might even be able to compromise. Mm-hmm. Right. Like there may be other ways. And that only comes from maturity.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And experience and growth. Mm-hmm. And that makes us authentic,
yeah.
right? Because you're right. Like, as you know, like as whatever you've graduated from, whatever job, your first job, you probably are faking it till you make it. Like really, you yeah. may not be using that terminology, but you don't have two clues to rub together. Mm-hmm. Like when you first start, but
yeah.
as you get better at it,
yep.
you have the ability to self-reflect. I'm a big believer in self-reflection, and what we don't self-reflect, then we likely keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes us authentic, mm-hmm. right? And the fact that you share that with like your team, mm-hmm. okay, like, and share that story about what happened on the first day, I mean, that shows your authenticity, mm-hmm. right? Because it's telling, if you're telling that to the participants in the One Step Closer program, it's giving them faith that, okay, so I need to try this, right? Mm. Because look, Marcus didn't even think he could do it. No, I mean, he's a great instructor, right?
Mm-hmm. You're giving them an example, a tangible yeah. example.
Right, from which is yeah. authentic.
Yeah, exactly.
Empathetic.
Makes it much easier to buy into that whole process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, it looks like we're out of time. And we've had another great, lively discussion today on Within Reach. And so, Marcus, I'd really like to thank you for joining us. It's great to hear from you, and really great to have seen your self-reflection and growth, okay, into yes. an authentic leader, mm-hmm. and that this session actually helped you realize you were a leader.
Absolutely.
And you gave me a chance to make fun of you for not seeing yourself as the leader the rest of us all obviously do, so thank exactly. you for that.
Yes, my self-imposter syndrome definitely gets in the way, but it is getting much easier to kind of tell that part of myself to shut up and right. be mm-hmm. like, you are a leader. And it took this article, I think, to really hammer that into me.
Exactly.
So good. It was
well,
nice
we picked the right
here.
One then. That's great. Right.
Yes.
You had both the oldest and the longest article by far.
It was I didn't find the length of the article, actually.
It was informative, though. It was really good. Which I should mention, too, anytime we post one of these episodes, we're going to be sharing the article resource as well. Yeah, exactly. Some are locked behind paywalls. Unfortunately, there's not much above board I can do to help you with that. But There are things you can do out there, resourceful people. You'll find your way. We trust mm-hmm. you. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Within Our Reach. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our next episode. If you have an idea for an episode topic you'd like us to cover, or if you'd like to join us as a guest on the podcast, reach out to us at withinourreach@reachability.org.